Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com, proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
LA, thank you very much for tuning in. Greatly appreciate it as always. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Give everybody a quick idea of what we got going on for the show. Alex Caruso, guard for the Los Angeles Lakers, coming up in about 15 minutes. He'll join the show at 7:30. Greatly appreciate him giving his thoughts on the Lakers. 3-1 lead on the Portland Trailblazers. Plus, Brad Turner from the LA Times. He'll come on in the 8 o'clock hour. Okay, so let's kind of go back a little bit. Let's look forward. Let's do a little bit of everything tonight, and I want to obviously spend some time. I want to start off with a couple scenarios that were playing out going into last night's game. So the Lakers had a 2-1 series lead, and I was mentioning this to Michael in the pregame show. I was talking about one of two scenarios are going to play out in tonight's game. One scenario would be that the Lakers leave the door open for the Portland Trailblazers and give them hope again. Give them hope that, you know what, maybe we can beat the number one Los Angeles Lakers with Anthony Davis and with LeBron James. Maybe we actually have an opportunity to beat this team in a 7-game set. We got to grab game 4. That was one scenario that could have happened. Lakers giving the Blazers hope. The other scenario was, is this Los Angeles Lakers team that we were watching back in March, that we saw all season long come through for Los Angeles and Laker fans across the country, really Laker fans all across the world, are we going to see that team? Are we going to see a team that we haven't seen yet put together like this, LeBron and AD together, all these other pieces that came in? Are we going to see this Los Angeles Lakers team sense that they have a chance to bury the Portland Trailblazers? That's what game 4 was. You know, so much of the time we spend talking about how, all right, if the series is tied 1-1, how big is game 3? Or if the series is tied 2-2, how big is game 5? Completely understand. There's obviously reasons for that. But I thought for this Lakers team yesterday, we were going to find out whether this team had a killer instinct or it didn't. It's still very early in the playoffs. Still very early in the postseason. We're only in round 1. But games like this matter. You know, every time, especially because it's been 7 years that, you know, the Lakers have been to the playoffs, just naturally, and I'm sure there's plenty of Laker fans out there driving around. You guys will know what I'm talking about here. Naturally, you start looking back at other moments where the Lakers were in the postseason. So, for example, in the Kobe Shaq days, there were times when the Lakers were winning NBA championships, and you just thought, like, it's almost this cockiness as a fan, and specifically as a Laker fan, it was like, no. This series is over. This is the game that will decide that team's got no shot against Kobe and Shaq, or that team's got no shot against Kobe and Pau Gasol, or in the Showtime era with Magic and Kareem. There were those games that you felt like, yeah, that message is sent. This series is over. It's funny, LZ and George were doing crosstalk, middle crosstalk, and, you know, they're joking around about talking about Bring It On, that cheerleading movie. And part of them is talking about that, and they were mentioning, because this series is over. That's the feeling you got from yesterday's game. And, you know, for Laker fans that are out there, this is what you were looking for. I said this after Lakers took the first game when they tied the series up 1-1. Don't be impressed. You're supposed to... We actually shouldn't even be tied 1-1. And then when they came out and they won game 2. Again, I was saying, okay, so the Lakers are up 2-1 in the first series. Whoop-de-doo, who cares? But yesterday, 3-1 sent a message that now you can kind of start looking towards the second round. And by the way, we're going to spend some time doing that on the show tonight. The Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder are tied at 2 apiece. So we know, obviously, we're keeping a close eye specifically on that series, because that's who Lakers are going to face in the second round. But that's specifically was what it was how I looked at yesterday's game, and the Lakers answered the call, and the Lakers jumped out 15-0, and then the Lakers were up by 29 points. They were up 14 at the end of the first quarter, maybe 14, 15, something like that. Up 29 at halftime. 29 at halftime. We knew the game was over. Another reason why many people think that this series is over, no Damian Lillard for Game 5. You know, I was I spent some time last week talking about how I thought it was going to be good for the Lakers to play the Portland Trailblazers. By the way, this is perfect because we got Alex Caruso coming up in 10 minutes. I want to bring that conversation up to him. If Damian Lillard, if CJ McCollum, if this Portland Trailblazers team that went 7-2 in the Orlando bubble, if it was good to face a team like this in the first round, if that's helpful. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. But if you guys remember, I was doing Lakers talk last week, and I was saying I think there's too much hype behind the Portland Trailblazers. I think we're making it sound like this team is the 80s Showtime era, the 90 Bulls. Not literally, but that's how much hype the Blazers were getting. I just want to go back and remind everybody that this Portland Trailblazers team, as great as it was for what they accomplished to put themselves in a position to face the Los Angeles Lakers, they weren't. It's not like this team was blowing teams out in the Orlando bubble. They went 7-2, and they were one possession away, not even making the playoffs. So I felt like we were overhyping the Portland Trailblazers just a little bit. And I think right now, you know, we could look at this Los Angeles Lakers team, and we look at this Blazers team, and I think we could start turning the page here. Specifically on what the Lakers just accomplished here over the last couple of days, and certainly what they accomplished yesterday. Now, you still got to go out and close it out tomorrow. We got a chance a little bit earlier today. So Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. We get opportunities just based upon, you know, the team schedule and their practice schedule to do Zoom calls and to ask coaches, players, or the coach and the players questions on, you could say, a few days a week or so. This is outside of the games. Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, one of the questions I asked him this morning or this afternoon was if he feels like he's still learning a lot from this team. And what I was really referencing to, the point I was trying to get across was that was the first position, this is the first run he's had with this Lakers team in the postseason. Here's Frank Vogel.
Hey, coach, just out of curiosity, do you feel like you're still learning a lot about this team? I'll just use last night as an example. You know, obviously, it's your first playoff run with this group. Such a swing game to kind of take control of the series. Do you feel like even now in the postseason, there's still so much to learn about your team? They obviously delivered yesterday.
Well, yeah, like you said, they did deliver. You know, my understanding of our team and my belief in our team is that we're going to rise to the occasion in these big moments. When it's needed the most. And, you know, obviously that's the one thing that we've not checked the box on because we haven't been there yet. But that's in front of us coming up hopefully over the next however long these playoffs proceed. And, you know, what we do in those big moments is really the last piece of my understanding of trying to learn new things about our team.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. You know, that's one of the things I think I take away from yesterday's game as well is, look, there's a lot of the conversation about what yesterday meant to the Los Angeles Lakers. Obviously, it was Mamba Day, it was Kobe Bryant Day yesterday, and I don't think it's fair to make these, oh, well, they got to go out and they have to win it for Kobe Bryant, because I think Kobe Bryant meant so much to so many more people than just, you know, this Los Angeles Lakers team. I mean, Damian Lillard yesterday had 8 on his one shoe and 24 on the other. Russell Westbrook walked into a game with the Houston Rockets, and I don't have to tell everybody, but obviously he's wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey, and Kobe was such a global figure. But I'd be lying to you if I didn't feel like yesterday Lakers came in with this mentality, this focus that we haven't seen in Orlando. You know, that I haven't seen that from the Los Angeles Lakers inside, specifically inside the Orlando bubble. What yesterday reminded me of is the Los Angeles Lakers back in March. What yesterday reminded me of was this Lakers team that at one point we were saying to ourselves, I think they're the best team in the NBA. Now, I'm not going to base all that off of one game, and I'm not going to base all that off a game where Damian Lillard didn't look didn't look healthy. Damian Lillard, by the way, his right knee sprain, he's out for game five. That could very well be, he could very well be out for the entire series, according to Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports. So that's if a game six is forced or a game seven is forced. But I say all that, and if you listen to Anthony Davis in the post-game show, AD was talking about how you know, they had an opportunity earlier in the year at Staples Center. It was the first game that the Lakers played since the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, Gigi Bryant, and the seven others. And Portland came in behind Damian Lillard, and they won. And he almost was referencing, AD was almost referencing in a sense that this game was important for them because they lost the other one to the Portland Trail Blazers, and he wanted to represent Kobe and the jersey and everything else. So if that had a lot of impact on the Lakers yesterday, whether that did or it didn't, I felt it did. And I, like I mentioned, I'm not one to try and make those comparisons because I know Kobe Bryant meant so much to the basketball world in general, right? And outside of the basketball world, I'm sure there's many players that are motivated because of Kobe Bryant. But Lakers did take a commanding 3-1 lead. And coming up next, why don't we just go to Alex Caruso? Why don't we go to the man himself? By the way, Alex Caruso, so far in these playoffs, you know, he's never going to have stats where you look at, I think in game three at 10 points and 7 assists, which was actually fantastic for him, but he's never going to jump out from that perspective. I can't wait to get Caruso's perspective on his first playoff run, what it felt like yesterday in that game, what it's been like to try and guard Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and have that assignment, and most importantly, how do you keep your foot on the gas if you're the Los Angeles Lakers? Make sure you take care of business tomorrow and start getting ready for the second round. Alex Caruso coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can't tell you how excited I am to have Alex Caruso joining the show. Alex, thank you very much for making some time and being a part of the show. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I'm good. Just another day of recovery, getting ready for the next game.
Well, listen, congratulations. I mean, I want to say, and I'll get your thoughts on this, but yesterday kind of felt like one of those games. Lakers now up 3-1. And this is just my assumption. You tell me, did yesterday feel a little bit as if we were back in March? Here was a Lakers team that was rolling defensively, offensively, kind of clicking on all cylinders. Did you feel that way at all? Or is this just such a completely different time of the year that you're really not looking back?
You know, you could say that. There's some comparisons, obviously, to how we were playing. Obviously, we got a couple different pieces, but the team camaraderie and the chemistry is still the same, and I think we're starting to get that back on the court, like you said, just playing unselfish, playing for the open man, and then obviously Bron and AD are going to do what they do, but then the guys on the supporting cast are stepping up and obviously playing great defense. Bigs are protecting the rim, finishing around the basket, and then shooters are making shots. It's a really good feeling when we're playing like that.
Alex, how do you make sure, I guess, you keep your foot on the gas pedal? And really all I'm referring to there is I thought yesterday was such a critical game because it becomes a, you know, obviously a tie. The series either tied 2-2 or you guys take a, I don't want to say commanding 3-1 lead, but of course you have complete control. How do you walk into tomorrow night's game and make sure that there isn't a let-up, that you're not taking your foot off the gas pedal? What's kind of the mentality there? What are some of those conversations between, you know, the team on that front?
You know, I think for us, it's just that we got bigger goals in mind than finishing a first-round series. You know, us from the beginning of the year, we've talked about winning championships, and you can't win a championship if you don't finish a first-round series. So, I think if last night was any indication on taking our foot off the gas, I think it shows that we're pretty locked in and we have a mission in mind, and that every time we're out there might be slip ups here and there, but we're fully focused on getting it done.
No, listen, I'm getting a chance yesterday to do the pregame, postgame show for 710 ESPN. That was kind of the conversation in the pregame show is, well, we're going to find out a lot if this Lakers team can take advantage of the real first opportunity in the postseason to say, no, we're going to take control of the series. Obviously, you guys did that yesterday and another opportunity tomorrow. I want to go back to something, and you just mentioned, obviously, the goal here is championship aspirations. Kuzma said this about a week ago or so, and he talked about how Rondo and LeBron James have done, these are two vets in the game, obviously, have championship pedigree, have won championships, been to the finals. You can continue to talk about their resume, but how they emphasized that these opportunities don't come often, take advantage of that opportunity. Can you talk a little bit about that? What do vets on this team tell a player like yourself that has his first opportunity on a playoff run, how unique of an opportunity this is?
Yeah, you know, it is just that. I talked about that a little bit before the restart when people were asking me during quarantine about, do you want to play? Do you want to get back to finishing the season in the playoffs? And for me, it was always yes, because I've, like you said, with such veteran-led team and guys that have been there and done it, and not everybody can be LeBron James and go to 8 straight finals and have that luxury. So for guys like me to be able to have this opportunity, it's maybe once in a lifetime, maybe once in a career. You never know what the future holds. So just being present, I think, and just taking advantage of the opportunities is the biggest thing. And then when you got guys like Rondo and Bron and even guys like AD who have played big playoff games and had big playoff performances, you know what they're gonna bring. So you just kind of lock in and focus on your role and make sure that whatever it is you got to do that game, you take advantage of the opportunity and you get it done.
Alex Caruso taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Lakers up 3-1 on the Portland Trailblazers. A chance tomorrow to close up the series. Alex, earlier today, it was reported that Portland's Damian Lillard diagnosed with a right knee sprain. He's going to miss Game 5 tomorrow. I want to ask you just kind of that challenge, and this is specifically for the backcourt of the Lakers, yourself, KCP, Danny Green. What's it been like going up against such elite guards and C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard on a night-in, night-out basis? What's that been like for you, that challenge, and how do you look at tomorrow's game knowing that Damian Lillard won't be there?
Yeah, you know, unfortunate. Hopefully nothing for him is serious or long-term. You never like to see guys get hurt, regardless of the situation. Obviously, it's gonna play in our favor, but you never like to see guys get injured in the first place. But, you know, I think for me, KCP, Danny, even Kuz a little bit, just having this tough of a matchup in round one, having a guy of his caliber along with CJ and then the rest of their team, it kind of helps us, you know, take a step forward earlier than maybe you would for a normal 8 seed. You know, Portland, if they're healthy all year, I don't think they finish in the 8 seed. I think they're closer to the middle or the top of the pack. And so to be able to get this matchup in the first round, I think only benefits us, because we have to get to a level that maybe we wouldn't get pushed to if we played another team. So, and that aspect, it's good for us, you know, because like you said, you see flashes of a team that were playing in March last night and the games before that. And it's helping us get there. You know, sometimes that's harder to do, self-motivated. It's a little easier when you have somebody, a formidable opponent in front of you that requires your best to get the job done.
Alex Caruso on Lakers Talk here on 710 ESPN. Alex, what has this been like? It's now that you've got, you know, obviously a number of games under your belt, has everybody adjusted that, okay, there's no fans in the building, yes, we're all just playing this Orlando bubble? Does it now become normal? Is that where you are, or does it, every time you step on the court, is it still kind of seem weird?
Yeah, I don't know if normal is the right word. It's still different. You know, you can still feel that it's different, but I think once the playoff game started, at least for me, and I think for our team, you could tell that there's something to lose. You know, there's a little bit of a sense of urgency that's there that you only get, I think, with the playoffs or maybe in regular season games with fans. But we've been able to get to the point now to where it's more intrinsic, and it's just about us going out there and making sure that we're playing at a high level. It hasn't been easy, I won't lie to you and tell you that it's easy to go out there and no fans, just get the juices flowing and be ready to go. But you know, we, like you said, keep everything in perspective. We know what we're ultimately playing for. Even if the venue and the atmosphere is a little different, there's still a trophy to be won.
Do you feel like, Alex, Michael Thompson, who does the play-by-play here on 710 ESPN with John Ireland, when we do the pregame show, you know, we talk about how it's a neutral court. Is that how all these games feel? I mean, I'm sure you're not winning game four and saying, oh, we stole home court advantage, but does every game feel the same where, you know, obviously in the past when you're at a home arena or you're going on the road, do these just now, it feels neutral when you're actually playing these games as well?
Yeah, to be honest, it really does. You know, the home team, the designated home team has a couple more virtual fans, and they show their pregame hype video before the starting lineups.
Right.
But I mean, other than that, it's pretty much just the two teams, the referees, and then the scores table out there. And even then, the scores table is behind the plexiglass, so they're kind of off by themselves. It's really just the two teams and the refs. It's basketball paradise in a sense, where all you got to do is just go out there and focus on the game and play. It's been a lot of fun in that aspect, but. Yeah, it's pretty much just neutral. You know, there's really no there's no sway one way or another. We have really good bench energy and really good team camaraderie, so maybe that helps us a little bit take somewhat of a home court advantage. But at the end of the day, the guys on the court are still just playing the game 5-on-5.
Alex, when you have just time off, obviously today you guys already practice. What are you doing with your extra time? Do you find yourself watching a lot of these games? Do you find yourself getting away from the game? What is it that you try to do with your time outside of the actual games and practices?
I'm pretty much just laying low. You know, I'll get some recovery in. We'll have a team meeting, maybe walk through some stuff, get some shots up depending on how you're feeling, and then just kind of hang out. You know, I'm a basketball fanatic, so you know I'm the guy who in March Madness I'm watching every game from noon till 9 p.m. So
sure.
I'm liking the four games a day, and now it's only two, I guess, because some of the series have finished. But yeah, I've been enjoying watching the games. I haven't been too locked in because obviously I'm pretty focused on Portland as far as, you know, being real introspective digging too far into coverages and other team stuff when I'm watching the games. It's more just for pleasure, just kind of enjoying the basketball. But I'm definitely just kicking it back. And I mean, not much to do in the bubble. You know, I'm not gonna, can't go play golf between days on games. I'm resting because I got to guard guys like CJ and Dame. So it's a lot of just hoops and recovery for me.
Alex Caruso, taking some time to join Lakers Talk here on 710 ESPN. Alex, two more questions for you, and we'll let you go. And again, I appreciate your time. Do you feel you have nothing to compare this to, but does the playoff games that you've been a part of so far in the first round, does it feel different? Does it feel that you're in the postseason? And, you know, obviously, like I mentioned, I know that just based on the circumstances, it's not like you're going to Moda Center and there's 20,000 fans against you or here at Staples Center, but does it feel different competitively than anything you've ever felt before simply because it's now the postseason?
Yeah, you know, it does. Like I said earlier, like there's no fans and there's no atmosphere, but you can still feel that there's something to be played for. You know, there's something there to grab a hold of and to chase, with that being the trophy at the end, the title. It's different, man. It's different like nothing I've ever experienced. But at the end of the day, there's adrenaline, and you can tell by some of the guys on our team, the performances they put out already, that it is the playoffs, and it really is here.
Final one for you, Alex. How do you feel? I mean, just based upon what you've seen so far from this team all season long, how do you feel as you're a game away from getting to the second round? Obviously, some great opponents still left. Championship aspirations, that's the expectation. How do you feel about this team and its goals ahead of them?
I feel solid, man. You know, I felt confident as I do now, as I have all year, and the ability of this team. When we play at our best, I think we can beat anybody, and that being said, there's some really good teams out there. Like you said, there's some really good teams in our conference and good teams in the Eastern Conference. But at the end of the day, you know, we got to just play whoever's in front of us. And I'm confident in the 7-game series and our team and our abilities and our coaching staff to make adjustments to get the job done. So I'm excited. I'm confident. I'm looking forward to closing out game 5 and getting on to getting my first playoff series win, you know, putting that on the resume and continuing on this this journey.
Well, look, Alex, I know you already know this, but we wish you personally a ton of success and, of course, for the Los Angeles Lakers, a ton of success as well as you guys continue through this playoff run. So thank you for the time. Good luck for tomorrow. Hopefully you get the rest that you need and get ready for another good one against the Blazers.
Yeah, appreciate the support. We can feel Laker Nation, even though we're a couple of states away and thousands of miles. We feel the support, and we're getting it. We'll get the job done. We'll be there eventually.
All right, Alex. Thank you, man.
Yep, appreciate the time.
All right, that's Alex Caruso right there. Easy player to root for. Obviously a player that's done a fantastic job coming off the bench for the Los Angeles Lakers. Always appreciate his energy. Always appreciate how much just the effort that he puts on a night-in, night-out basis. So great to have Alex Caruso part of the show. All right, I don't know about you guys, but I'm already looking towards round 2. And maybe I shouldn't be doing that. But there's no Damian Lillard tomorrow. The Lakers were up at 1.38 in game 4. We all expect the Los Angeles Lakers to take care of business tomorrow. I do got a question for Laker fans out there that are driving around or listening on the ESPN app. Who would you rather face in the second round? The Houston Rockets or the Oklahoma City Thunder? 877-710-ESPN. Call into the show. We'll take some phone calls when we come back. Greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. Lakers taking on the Portland Trailblazers tomorrow will be game 5. By the way, just a quick reminder here, pregame show tomorrow starts at 4 o'clock, so we'll go 2 hours, myself and Michael Thompson. Tip-off will be at 6. As always, start tuning in at 5 a.m. in the morning. Keyshawn, you know that show is going to have so much conversation about the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, so something I threw out to Laker fans out there, as we start to turn the page on round 1, I hope I'm not coming off as too cocky as the series is 3-1, and I'm already looking at round 2. But I think, in a sense, the Laker fans out there understand that, all right, this Portland Trailblazers series, a week ago, everyone was hyping it up, overhyping the fact that it was the Portland Trailblazers. People were talking about Portland as if they were the greatest team of all time. But here you are now. You're expecting the Lakers to handle business tomorrow. You're expecting that Damian Lillard, who's not going to be in this game, at one point was, you know, in this Orlando bubble in the regular season, was the MVP of the bubble. Through those 9 games, he was averaging about 38 points a game. Take him off that roster. Not much firepower left for the Portland Trailblazers. So when the Lakers do eventually get rid of or move past the Portland Trailblazers, who would you rather face in the second round? Would you rather face the Houston Rockets with James Harden? Russell Westbrook, by the way, is going to be, I think he's ruled out for tomorrow as well. Tomorrow's game 5. He'll be out of that game. Series tied 2 apiece. But you'd expect Russell Westbrook in the second round, just assuming here. It's not based off of anything. Would you rather face the Houston Rockets in the second round? Or would you prefer the Oklahoma City Thunder with Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder and Steven Adams and Danilo Gallinari, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? I could go on. I could kind of list some of these names are out there. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I'll take a few calls here on that front. Let me just tell you guys real quick my thoughts on this. I find myself rooting for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I think there's a reason why I'm rooting for the Thunder. Let's use this series against the Portland Trailblazers as a good example. Sometimes it just comes down to top-level talent. The Lakers have Anthony Davis and LeBron James. That in itself is enough to beat the Portland Trailblazers. I don't care how hot they were. I don't care the run that they were on. In a 7-game set against the Los Angeles Lakers, Lakers just got too much talent. So the reason why I make that comparison, arguably the two best players in the series, or let's say two of the top 3 best players of the series between that Rockets team, that Oklahoma City Thunder team, is Russell Westbrook and James Harden. And I know Westbrook hasn't played so far, and that has, you know, obviously an incredible impact for that Rockets team. Chris Paul, the best player for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Yeah, you know, sometimes you just want to kind of avoid some of that talent. Now, a week ago, I was talking about bring on the Blazers and all that stuff. But Houston provides something that's just a little off to me. You know, they're a team that Michael Thompson always says, look, they don't play a lick of defense and they're depending on the three. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to win an NBA championship. John says, no, they got a puncher shot. It's such a unique team. What if they get hot for six games and all of a sudden find themselves hitting all these threes and there's no way to guard them? And Anthony Davis got to play the five for the Lakers, which I think many Laker fans enjoy. They like seeing that. But I think for me, it just comes down to what I know the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to do and the fact that I have no idea what happens with the Rockets if they get going. Lakers have faced the Rockets twice since they went small, since Robert Covington, since that trade for Covington where he's basically the tallest guy on that team, at least for, you know, that lineup that they're using. And Lakers are 0-2 against them. There's a lot of factors that go into it. I get it, all that. But Rockets just present this mysterious unknown that I'd rather not see if we don't have to. But if it is the Houston Rockets, of course, I'm assuming the Los Angeles Lakers will take care of business against the Houston Rockets. All right, let's go to Samuel in Watts. Appreciate you calling in. You're on Lakers Talk. What do you think? Between those two teams, who would you rather face?
I think thanks for having me on, by
the way. Of course,
man.
You got it.
I think I'm along the same thought process as you. I think I'm a little more wary of.
They're a little weird. They're a little weird.
I'm a little wary about the Houston Rockets' shooting streak ability. Like you said, I think they have a puncher shot, like John Ireland said. But I think it also would be cool for LeBron to face Chris Paul, and I would rather face the Thunder. Because he's beating, well, so far he's beating Carmelo in the first round. Now he's going to go up against his old buddy Chris.
I never looked at it that way, but that's a good perspective.
Yeah, and so I think that would be kind of fun, good little bragging rights amongst the friends. But yeah, those were my thoughts.
I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for calling in, Samuel. 877-710-ESPN if you have a thought on this. I put it up on Twitter, a little social media site. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. It's called Twitter. Put it up on Twitter and basically just put up a poll. And I think a lot of Laker fans feel the same way on this. All I said was, who would you rather face in the second round, Thunder or the Rockets? 77%, close to 1,000 votes or so, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if you look at some of the reasoning from a lot of Laker fans out there, a lot of it is just this kind of small ball thought process idea, the unknown, like I said. Like, it's mysterious. And sometimes when you don't know what's on the other side of the door, you're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm gonna be a little bit more cautious here. I'm going to go with what I know. I feel like that's the Houston Rockets. Charles Yao says on Twitter that he'd rather face the Rockets. They would prepare us and keep us on our toes. You know, there's something to that. We'll use me as an example. A week ago, I was pumping my chest out. You guys know how much I enjoy doing shows with Kirk Morrison. And Kirk Morrison and I were going back and forth. Again, text from Kirk Morrison after the Lakers lost game one. I told you, Al. I told you, watch out for the Blazers. But one of the things I kept saying, and you actually heard Alex Caruso, one of my favorite parts of that interview with Alex Caruso was Caruso saying, I think the Blazers actually prepared us better for what we're going to face in the second round. And you can make that same argument with the Houston Rockets. You can. But for some reason, I'd like to just avoid the Rockets if possible. If we got to face the Rockets, all good. We will. AD will end up playing predominant minutes in the five. We saw what Anthony Davis did yesterday. Anthony Davis at one point was up 16-14 over the Blazers, as in he had 16 points in the first quarter while the Blazers had just 14 points. And he only played in the first half, only played 18 minutes. Back spasms, quote unquote. But he already said to Mike Trudell yesterday from Spectrum Sportsnet that he's 100% going to play in tomorrow's game five. If it has to be the Rockets, then so let it be. But I'm rooting for the Oklahoma City Thunder on that front. Okay, so I don't know if you guys are watching watching this Clippers game at all, or at least just keeping track with the score. Not going good if you're a part of Mavs Nation, like I have all of a sudden claimed that I am. It's 90-63 Clippers over the Mavericks. I was saying yesterday in the postgame show, if Mavs find a way to win this game and go up 3-2, I was ready to do a postgame show. I told everybody, tonight I'm doing a Mavs postgame show if Mavs beat the Clippers. I don't think that's going to happen. 90-63 right now. Clippers over the Dallas Mavericks. Okay, coming up next, by the way, just a reminder, Brad Turner coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Brad Turner of the LA Times. I want to promote that because, you know, not only are we going to talk a little bit about yesterday's game and tomorrow's game, but I want to spend a little time talking with Brad Turner about Kobe Bryant Day. Kobe Bryant Day was yesterday, and he had a, you know, a good relationship with Kobe Bryant. So I love listening to those types of stories. We got something new coming up next, all right? It's called the Top 8 at 8. Top 8 at 8, basically top NBA stories, obviously around the league. Some of these will be Lakers-related. Others will have nothing to do with the Los Angeles Lakers. That's coming up next. I greatly appreciate you guys all tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.